Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier. It's my pleasure to be with you for the next 2 hours. And the first hour, we have a lady that we've spoken to. Unfortunately, it's been about 18 months, so we've been a bit slack there. And it's my pleasure to introduce Kirsten Pilati. She's the CEO of the Breast Cancer Network of Australia. Welcome, Kirsten.
Thank you, Alan. It's great to be back with you.
It's great to have you too. We'll try and get you in about once a year, I think, because it's a very important subject that we need to talk about. So, Kirsten, the first thing I'd like to talk to you, and this dates how long we were since we've spoken, which I'm a bit embarrassed about, but we were coming out of COVID, and we know during COVID all the medical things were allowable, but you were saying that the testing was down. Now, has the testing improved or the numbers improved going up since you know, we had last year with no lockdowns?
So Breast Screen Victoria are certainly seeing that their numbers of those people who are eligible, which is anyone over the age of 40, have been going back to Breast Screen. But we do know that there was a big group of people, around 90,000, that we needed to catch up on, which we're continuing to do. So I guess my message to people listening today is, if you did receive that letter from Breast Screen asking you to come and make an appointment and you've put it off, we know very many women have deprioritized their own health, then right now turn the radio down and make that call to Breast Screen and then come back to you and I, Alan.
Sounds good. Kirsten, I know that the guys are particularly bad at going to see the doctors. They are just terrible, and I'm just as bad as anybody else. And so they use the excuse, oh, well, COVID's around, I'm frightened I'm going to get COVID, which was a lot of rot because they only use as an excuse. Was that the same with the ladies, do you think, or why do you think they put it off?
I think there were many, well, we don't actually think, we know from the research that has been done by many people that there are a number of factors. One was people didn't want to clog up the healthcare system because they were well. And so they were really prioritising other people first. The other is just, you know, all of our lives have really been turned upside down because of COVID. And so spending that time to kind of reprioritize your own health amongst everything else of trying to calm the family down, deal with an increased mental health load that we have across the country, all have contributed to people not prioritizing their own health. And the other big thing, I think, is that often people forget that Breast Screen is a free service.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, and so, you know, and I saw reports from the news last night that health services are being impacted because of the home pressures we're all under financially. But so I want to say to people, going to Breast Screen is free. It isn't, you're not going to incur out-of-pocket costs. So please go make that call and go and have your test if you're over 40 and eligible to have a Breast Screen. But we also know that people who might have found a lump or found some kind of change to their breast, women and men, and, you know, we talked last time, there are 155 men who'll be told they have breast cancer this year. So any change to any part of your body, whether you're a woman or a man, I'm really encouraging people to go and see your GP and get it looked at after, because we know for most people it will be nothing. Yep. But for those that are not, finding it early will make a difference.
Kirsten, you mentioned over 40. Now, I do know that there seems, this is just my what I seem to be hearing, that there are a number of young ladies well under 40 that are getting breast cancer. Can they have the screening if they believe they've got a lump, or do they have to pay for that?
They will need to go to their GP, and the GP will then work through your risk factors. Certainly if they're worried but there are no symptoms, then having a discussion with your GP is really important. There are also some great online tools that can help, and you can go to bcna.org.au and have a look for those tools where we can actually help you calculate what your risk may be like. I think the other But if there is any change, no matter what your age, going to see your GP is really important and having those discussions. Sadly, yesterday we trained another 26 women who have recently been diagnosed to become advocates for us. And I met a couple of women who were both diagnosed during pregnancy. And it is sadly quite often the clinicians will not count breast cancer out first in young women, and we really want people to know and believe in their own body and to advocate for themselves to keep, if they find with their GP doesn't want to test them but they feel like they need a test, then go somewhere else and demand the test to happen.
So are some of the doctors sort of a bit, I guess flack's not the word, but they just don't want to believe that a young lady or a young man can get it?
We know that breast cancer is... There are a couple of significant risk factors. One is being a woman, and the other is that it is a cancer of the aging. However, that does not mean that people under 40 don't get diagnosed. And in fact, a WNBL player came out yesterday talking about her breast cancer diagnosis in her late 20s. So it can happen. And so I think we don't want to scare people. What we want people to do is take practical steps to, if they're worried about anything, your GP is your first port of call.
I've just got to take a quick call, message, and a quick break, but because I think Delta Goodrum was even under 30, wasn't she, when she was diagnosed?
Yeah, she was diagnosed with a blood cancer, so not with breast, but many people within our network who are diagnosed under 40, and they have quite different needs, but we do know the vast majority of people will be between the ages of 50 and 65 who are diagnosed. So that's why it's important. Anyone over 40 goes to breast screen, and any symptoms, you go to your GP.
All right, we've got a quick break and we'll be back with more with Kirsten. Thanks.
She always
Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 19 minutes past 12 o'clock. And I'm talking to Kirsten, who's the CEO of the Breast Cancer Network of Australia. Kirsten, I'm hoping at the end of today that we might be able to convince some men and particularly ladies that they should look for a lump, and maybe they find a lump tomorrow. I'm keen to destigmatise what would then happen. Could you just very briefly run us through the events that would happen over the next few weeks, please?
So I will, and I think it is important to cover off this, because it is that moment of finding something where you'll see the anxiety rise.
And everybody believes it's the end.
The worst case scenario, yep. Exactly. So, you know, we talked in the first segment of go to breast screening if you're eligible. If you find any change, then go to your GP. Then you will undergo a number of tests. And I think the most difficult time talking to the people who are diagnosed is that waiting period. And so I would say to people, that is a time where BCNA can be here to help you. And we have an incredible team on our helpline who you can call and ask any questions, and they will really help you to navigate that time of uncertainty. Because if COVID taught us nothing, it taught us that dealing with uncertainty is really difficult emotionally. And so looking after your emotional well-being at that time of waiting is really important, and connecting in with people who are not going to escalate your fears, but are just going to give you honest, truthful, and trustworthy information to help you navigate that time. And that's really one of the big purposes of BCNA. So you will undergo a number of tests, and you'll often be waiting a while for those test results. And depending on where you go, you'll be given different amounts of times to wait for those test results. And you'll also undergo different tests depending on what kind of change or symptom that you have. So for most people, they'll have a mammogram, an ultrasound, and then a biopsy. And the biopsy actually removes some of the lump or the change to actually then test the pathology and see if it is breast cancer.
And I just want to put this a little bit in if I can. Some of those will turn out to be cysts or something like that, won't they?
A significant amount will. And that's why going at this time of uncertainty, going to a trustworthy organisation like BCNA is much better than talking to your neighbour whose aunt may have been diagnosed 20 years ago and who probably died from breast cancer and a horrific story will be delivered to you. That is not helpful at that time, but going somewhere where you can trust the information is very helpful.
And not Dr. Google.
Definitely not Dr. Google. So yep. bcna.org.au is your best first approach, or calling our helpline, as I said. But so you'll have that test, and then you will be delivered the results of that test. And one of the things BCNA, we began 25 years ago, Alan, and one of the reasons why we began is because our founder was told of her breast cancer over the phone while she was teaching students. And it still, you know what, it still raises the hairs on my arm, because sadly that can still happen.
Hello.
So and in fact, in 2017, as I travelled the country to look at our state of the nation, I remember very vividly a young woman telling me in Western Australia that she was driving with her two children in the back of her car while she was told she had breast cancer. And that is completely unacceptable from my perspective.
Absolutely.
So what we really want to encourage people to do is, I know you want the results, but is to find a support person, whoever that might be, a trusted friend, a partner, your mum, your dad, your sister, and take them with you, even because it could be great news that it's nothing and all is well. But how great to have that person to celebrate with. But if on the occasion that it is bad news, we absolutely know that you will hear the words you have breast cancer and you will hear nothing else, and everything will become a complete blur. So to have that support person there, they can take in information that you will not be able to. And and start to ask questions and really help you in that next stage. And that next stage can often come very fast with a whole lot of more tests to be done, decisions to be made. And for me, my advice to people is you actually have time. And quite often you don't feel like you do, but everyone has time at that point of diagnosis, the day your world will be upside down, to really, I encourage people to take time to understand the type of breast cancer they have, to understand all of their options. Because right then there are some critical decisions to make, where you have your treatment, who is your treatment team, and all of these decisions can have lifelong financial impacts to you. And I love that your radio station is called Community Connection, because community connection is everything you need at that moment. And connecting in to other people who have lived the experience, who can help you make, ask really good questions and make really wise decisions, is essential at this next stage. And making sure you put the team around you that is right for you needs time, and we need to encourage people to take time.
Kirsten, I've just got to take another quick break and we'll be back with more.
I think he knows his footprints on the sidewalk lead to where I can't stop. Go there every night. He knows his hands around a cold glass make me wanna know that body like it's mine. He got that boyish look that I like in a man. I am an architect, I'm drawing up the plans. It's like I'm 17, nobody understands. No one understands.
He got my heartbeat skipping down 16th Avenue. Got that heart on me. Wanna see what's under that attitude.
Talking to Kirsten, who's the CEO of the Breast Cancer Network of Australia. Kirsten, I just want to tell you a quick little story. This interview is not about me, and it never is, but I remember going to my doctor many years ago, and he said he wanted to do some sort of test, and I'm sure you all guess what it was, and I was a bit reluctant, and he said to me, well, no one ever dies of embarrassment. They die because you don't do something about something that's wrong with you, but no one does. And the reason why I tell you that little bit, some of the ladies say that it can be a bit uncomfortable, these tests, but I guess what I want to say is it's better to put up with being uncomfortable and do something about it than do nothing. Am I right?
It sure is. And I remember a campaign for cervical cancer, actually, which said there's uncomfortable and then there's uncomfortable. And so it is about making it all relative and prioritising our own health, whatever it might be, cancer screening tests and, you know, bowel screening. There will be lung screening coming up, but also your own mental health. It's really important for us to prioritise because, as many people say, they're, you know, you have to fit the mask on yourself on an aeroplane before you can look after others. And looking after others is what often women really do prioritise. So what I'm saying to everyone today is now is the very best time to look after you.
Kirsten, I know there's a lot of things being done with cancer in a lot of ways. Do you think they'll ever get to the stage where there'll be such a good blood test that they won't need to do the breast screening, or do you think that's ever possible?
There is some research at the moment into blood tests. I think we're a bit off now, and certainly we are always, as an advocacy group, looking for better ways to detect breast cancer early. One of the things, you know, you talked about great survival. Back when BCNA started in 1985, survival for those people diagnosed with breast cancer was under 70%. So, you know, if we had 100 people in the room, 70 of those would survive, 30 would not. And today it's over 92%. And so, yeah, and it is because we're finding them earlier and we've got better treatments. Now, sadly, we do not know how many people are living with what we call metastatic breast cancer, which is where the cancer has moved away from the breast and to other parts of the body. And we are here and we certainly want to make sure that those women and men who are living with metastatic disease know that they are seen by our network and that we are here to support them, because the great treatments that have come forward means that those people who normally would have been told to go home and get their affairs in order are now living and thriving in our community, continuing to work through their treatment. And in fact, I have one of my most remarkable staff members in our HR area is living with metastatic disease and is making an incredible contribution to BCNA. So, you know, so much has changed, and therefore, you know, having that hope is really there today.
Kirsten, two questions. Pardon me if I may. The first one being that if a lady or a man, I keep thinking of just ladies, I must be honest, if a person is diagnosed, there are no doubt support groups available. What if the partner says, well, look, I really want to support a male or female, you know, I really want to support my partner, but I really don't know how. Is there support groups available for them as well?
There certainly is, and I think calling our helpline, it is not just there for the person diagnosed, but for family, for friends, for work colleagues, because we know that the ripple effect that a diagnosis has on everyone. So our team can help to connect you with support groups, but also with information, with podcasts, with a whole lot of things, because we know that different partners and support and carers want to connect in different ways. Yep. And so we have a whole range of resources that people can use that works best for them. And interestingly, a few months ago, we launched a podcast series called What You Don't Know Until You Do, which is a clinical psychologist.
What's it called?
What You Don't Know Until You Do.
Right.
Which is a clinical psychologist, Dr. Charlotte Topman, who herself, she's trained in cancer psycho-oncology, but herself was diagnosed with breast cancer. And she does a 10-part series, which for many of our partners have found very useful as an incredible insight into what's going on for the person diagnosed and what kind of happens to those people around them. And there's some incredible insights that Charlotte talks about. And, you know, and that includes what happens in the relationship and how important communication is and the difference in the way people communicate and the feeling that some of our those people diagnosed don't want to be a burden, so therefore they don't actually speak up and tell their partner what they want, or the partner doesn't really know what to do. And I've met so many men, male partners, who have done extraordinary things after their wife or partner has been diagnosed because they just want to fix it and they can't fix her, so they go and fix something else like a car or the house. Or it's it is really remarkable how when you are the partner, you don't have any control. Yep. And how difficult that is. And we want to be here to help those people navigate how they can control what they can control.
Just got to take another quick break, Kirsten. We'll be back with more.
Yarra Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
She played the fiddle in an Irish band, but she fell in love with an Englishman. Kissed her on the neck and then I took her by the hands. A baby, I just wanna dance. I met her on Grafton Street, right outside of the bar. She shared a cigarette with me while her brother played the guitar. She asked me, what does it mean? The Gaelic ink on your arm. Said it was one of my friend's songs. Do you wanna drink on? She took Jamie as a chaser, Jack for the fun. She got Arthur on the table with Johnny riding a shotgun. Chatted some more, one more drink at the bar. Then put Van on the jukebox, got up to dance. You know she played a fiddle in an Irish band, but she fell in love with an Englishman. Kissed her on the neck and then I took her by the hands. And baby, I just wanna dance with my pretty little Galway girl. Are you my pretty little Galway girl? You know she beat me at darts and then she beat me at pool. And then she kissed me like there was nobody else in the room. As last orders were called was when she stood on the stool after dancing to Kaylee, singing to trad tunes. I never heard Carrick Fergus ever sung so sweet. A cappella in the bar using her feet for a beat. Oh, I could have that voice playing on repeat for a week. And in this packed out room where she was singing to me. You know she played her fiddle in an Irish band, but she fell in love with an Englishman. Kissed her on the neck and then I took her by the hands. And baby, I just wanna dance, my pretty little Galway girl. Closing time, I was holding a hand, her hand was holding mine. Our coats both smell of smoke, whiskey and wine. As we fill up her lungs with the cold air of the night. I walked her home, then she took me inside. Finished some Doritos and another bottle of wine. I swear I'm gonna put you in a song that I write about a Galway girl and a perfect night. She played the fiddle in an Irish band, but she fell in love with an Englishman. Kissed her on the neck and then I took her by the hands. And baby, I just wanna dance, my pretty little Galway girl.
And you were talking about the fact that they can call your helpline. Is that 24 hours a day or is it only on business hours?
Business hours, and it's on 1-800-500-258. So that's 1-800-500-258. Or just go onto Google and put in Breast Cancer Network Australia, not breast cancer, because
otherwise you're going
to get Dr. Google.
You'll get a Dr. Google. Kirsten, a lady I know had to have a breast taken off because of breast cancer, and the very next time I saw her, I must admit I must have been distracted or something, because she said to me a few minutes later, "Do you find me different?" And I said, "No." She said, "Well, you haven't come up and giving me a hug like you normally do. Do women often feel like that, that they now no longer feel, or there was nothing I did that I was certainly on purpose, and it's not about me again, but do women do you have to be, if you're dealing with a lady or a man like that, do you have to be a little bit careful that you don't pull back at all?
Mm. This is such an interesting area, Alan. And, you know, I travel the country doing information forums with hundreds of women. And the one thing I'll always know for certain is that they will talk about how their friends and family have changed since their diagnosis.
Do they?
And yeah, I think just like you, it's very unintentional, but often we just don't know what to do. And so, you know, making sure that you kind of ask that person who has been diagnosed how they want to talk about it. Do they want to talk about it? Because people also don't want to be defined by their cancer. So I think making sure that we talk to people about what is it that they want. But body image is a very significant impact after a breast cancer diagnosis. And in fact, we distribute 12,000 bras every year to people who have just had surgery thanks to our partnership with Burley, and that's called the My Care Kit. And that bra all came about because we wanted women who'd had surgery to leave hospital not feeling like everyone was looking at them, whether they were or were not. It was how they felt. And they wanted to leave feeling like they had control, and so they have a soft form in their breast for those who've not had reconstruction. And it's amazing how the change to your body has such a significant emotional impact on you. And then also remember that these women and men who've had surgery, and it's major surgery, every time they see themselves in the mirror, they are reminded of their cancer. And for many people, they're often then causes fear of their cancer coming back. And so really, we know that over 80% of those people diagnosed, and more than 20,000 women and 155 men will be diagnosed with breast cancer this year, which is staggering. But those people, their greatest fear is their cancer coming back. And so those constant reminders of every time they see their scars are very real for them. So acknowledging that, asking people how they want to talk about their cancer, if in fact they want to, is probably the best advice we can give you. But often people won't actually talk about it because they fear saying something wrong or upsetting them. And that is in fact the worst thing you can do. So acknowledging it, totally. And it feels like they sense it. They know that you're not the same with them. So really just saying, not trying to fix it, but just listening and asking questions and making them feel heard is a really important part of bonding with that person who has been through a very traumatic time in their life.
Who just comes across someone, isn't it?
Yeah, family and friends and work colleagues. We have a lot of information on our website to help people navigate work because, you know, it is the same thing. People want to be able to return to work in different ways, and they have to find a way of being a new them. And so we've got to be able to provide them with support to do that.
All right, we'll just take a quick break, our last break, and apart from other things, Kirsten's got something else she wants to talk about, and then she will give you all the contact details for the Breast Cancer Network of Australia.
Yes, I'm on my way. Needing a friend, and the way I feel now, I guess I'll be with you till the end. Guess I'm on my way.
mighty glad you stayed. Stuck on you, been a fool too long. I guess it's time for me to come home. Guess I'm on my way. So hard to see that a woman like you could wait around for a man like me. Guess I'm on my way. Mighty glad you stayed. Guess I'm on my way. Needed a friend, and the way I feel now, I guess I'll be with you till the end. Guess I'm on my way. I'm mighty glad you stayed.
Back to Community Connections. I'm talking to Kirsten from the Breast Cancer Network of Australia. Kirsten, very early in the interview, you talked about you've just trained some advocates. Are they people that will be going on the phones to talking to the people who make the call?
Our consumer advocates really work across the country to help wherever there's a decision about breast cancer. We want to make sure that someone who has a lived experience is feeding into policy development or into, you know, designing hospitals or making sure that parking is available for people who might be going through chemo or radiotherapy. So our helpline is housed by people who really help you to navigate the system, so they have a very strong knowledge of the healthcare system, all the services that are available, because we know nothing drives anyone more mad than if you find out that something was down the road which could have helped you at the time of need at the wrong time. So that's really what our helpline does. It connects you into the services and helps you to answer questions that you have around navigating the system.
Most of those people on the helpline are going to be people who have been through the same trip themselves?
Yeah, so some of our people have had a lived experience themselves, and others are health professionals themselves. So we've got a bit of a mix. And the other thing that we've got is an online network where people who have a lived experience help each other out. And I love that in the middle of the night, there'll always be someone else who's up, who's having treatment and finding it difficult to sleep and has a question to ask. And who better to ask than someone else who has been through breast cancer? And so we have one of the biggest online communities where what we call peer-to-peer supporting, so people who've had a lived experience of breast cancer can support each other. So that's pretty cool to wake up in the morning to read it and see some of the very interesting and, let's say, very open conversations that happen on that network.
Because some of the worst times for people that are ill is in the early hours when they can't sleep and they think all the rest of the world's asleep and really don't care about them, isn't it?
Yeah, and that feeling of being alone and isolated is very real, and we know that people also don't want to worry their family and friends. And so to have someone else who gets it, and, you know, yesterday when we had the advocates in the room, that we were talking about what Breast Cancer Network Australia means to them, and they're like, it is a group that gets me, and I don't have to explain myself or my story over and over again. Yeah. And that really is pretty special.
All right, Kirsten, unfortunately we're coming very close to the end of the hour. It goes very, very quickly, as we know. Kirsten, can you give us the contact details for people, please?
I sure can, Alan. So you can call Breast Cancer Network Australia on 1800 500 258, or you can go online and see all of the different services that we offer at bcna.org.au. But I also want to really encourage, Alan, everyone listening, to join us on August 20 on the MCG. So you may remember that we have 5 years ago, we made the shape of the Pink Lady on the MCG.
Oh, yes.
And we are coming back post-COVID. So we, before the Melbourne versus Hawthorn game on Sunday, August 20, we will stand in solidarity with our pink ponchos for the women and our blue ponchos for the men, and we'll stand together, united, to send a very clear message to people who have been diagnosed that they are not alone. And to those people who have a loved one or someone they care about, can also stand with us to really reflect that this disease does not just impact the person diagnosed, but all of our community. And I think it sends such a powerful and important message to people. So I would love everyone to come and stand on the MCG with us. And you can find all of that information out by calling our helpline or going on to the website. I hope you'll be there standing with us, Alan.
I'll do my best. And that's on August the 20th.
Correct.
And the phone number again for people is 1800 500 258, and the website is
bcna.org.au.
Kirsten, look, it's been a pleasure to have you on again, and as I said to you before, we won't be as long. We'll try and do this every year to catch up, but I guess I'm saying this, and I'd like you to reinforce it, that tomorrow when you're all having your shower, have a look.
Absolutely, and if there's anything that seems not quite right, then please go and see your GP. But if you got that letter in the mail from Breast Screen, go and make the call today.
And the other important thing I think that you said before is, if we all know our bodies better than an external person, so if they don't feel as though that they're being taken seriously, what do they do?
Yeah, then go and find someone else. And I think being heard and taking control of your own body is really important.
Yeah, because, you know, I guess a doctor only sees you for sort of 10, 15 minutes and you know, at times you think, oh, I'm not sure they covered that. So particularly in something as serious as this, you really need to know that you've that you're being heard and being taken seriously, don't you?
Absolutely.
And again, very, very quickly, you've got the support groups, not only for the person going through it, but for the partners as well.
Yeah, partners, family, friends and work colleagues, then reach out to BCNA and we can help connect you in and support you through a really tricky time.
I need to go, Kirsten. Thank you for your time again. Look forward to talking to you early next year.
Always a joy, Alan.
Thanks, Kirsten. Bye.